Tip Today with Fran Curry.
With Slattery's Garage, puck on. Your Peugeot car or van might benefit from a free software upgrade. For more information and to find out if this applies to your vehicle, call the lads in Slattery's Garage, puck on 067 24111 or slatterysgarage.ie.
Thanks, Pat. Welcome back to Tip Today, 1800 938 007. Don't forget gardening towards the end of the programme. If you have a gardening query, log it with us, please. 083 311 3311. We have that €50 voucher to give away from our friends at Shoe For You on O'Connell Street in Clonmel. And that prize, based on your interaction with us by text and WhatsApp, put Shoe For You at the end of your contribution. We'll pop you in to the draw. They've got some fabulous shoes there, I'm told. High heels, low heels, there's wedges, there's sandals, loafers, trainers, everything you can imagine. Time for this?
The Tipperary Village Tour, funded by Commissioner Naman, with the television licence fee. Tipperary's
Tip FM. Good morning, Ellie. Whereabouts are you?
Good morning, friend. We're here in Hickey's Pub in Silver Mines Village this morning. Everyone say good morning. And my God, do we have a busy hour ahead. John, it's great to be here in Silver Mines.
Isn't it? And back again. Do you remember the two of us being up here and we went up to the step? Do you remember that?
Joe, and I was only asking, was it last year? You said it was 2 years ago.
No, you're older than you actually think. Yeah, it's another year. Time is slipping by much more quickly. Absolutely fantastic up there. And that introduced, of course, your great views up there. It's great walking territory. And in fact, isn't there a place up there? It cares for all types, because up on the hills, there's Heart Attack Hill as well. Have you heard about that as well as that? But we did a much more gentle walk down into Glencalew. And the very man who first introduced me to Glencalew, he's going to be on the show today. And that's Pat Sheehan over there. And he introduced me, led me when they had a great walking festival here. And I always came up to it. And, you know, and I used to go to Upper Church as well. And they were two great walking festivals that showcased the Slee films. And unfortunately, not there anymore. So I just love, maybe if anybody's thinking, somebody to, you know, recreate some kind of a Slee film walking festival, festival there. But we were coming in this morning as well as that. Do you remember the big gates on the right hand side?
Yeah.
And you know who lives there, who used to live there now?
Go on.
Got Tony Ryan of Ryanair, the founder of Ryanair. But that was actually the castle of the Dunalleys. I used to think one time the Dunalleys didn't really exist, they were fictitious, but they were there for a long time. And I believe there are great stories there about how they took over. How did they get, the O'Kennedys ran everything. Do you remember when we were up in Dromoneer, we talked about the O'Kennedys. Mm-hmm. They ran everything here. But what happened? The Dunalleys somehow took over. And Tommy Hickey, who's the owner of this lovely premises here, he's going to tell us a bit more about that. A pretty family. There was a great story. And in fact, they wrote a book, because I found out about him first. Young fella cycled into the library, found this book, came home through Irish Eyes. And it was the story of Terence Pretty, who grew up there. And the life was so different from anything I knew. I was fascinated by it. Mm-hmm. I used to play a bit of tennis then. I remember he seemed to go along, pick up a racket, head off to the Munster Championships. That stuck with me, and won the thing. And I'm thinking, oh my God, it's so hard for me to win anything. So I was really envious. So that's fantastic. But of course, we can't come here without talking about mining. And I think we have a great expert on that, the local expert, Eamon de Stafford. And we'll want Eamon is here. As you can see, he's a very popular man in the community. And we'll be looking at things is, why was Silver Mines so lucky, you know, that in fact that they had all these different minerals here. They had zinc, they had barite, they had lead, and of course the name silver as well as that. We'll have to ask, I know, is there any gold in the hills? But that's something. But, you know, you had this. And I would say to anyone as well as that, there was a 19th century boom in mining as well as that. There was a 19th century boom, and the buildings are still there. Free to anyone, you can go in there, they're restored. It's a beautiful visit to come up here and do that and show the family that. And then, of course, we went on to the 20th century and you had another boom. And the first crowd who came in was open cast mining, and they were Macabar. That changed the community a good bit. But then Mogul came in. 500 top paid jobs, which, you know, and imagine the change that made in the community. People were small farms and suddenly they had unlimited money. So that must have been quite disruptive to the local community. Yeah. And of course, the nature of mining is boom bust. The product price falls, it gets more difficult to get the ore out, and suddenly you're finished. So we'll be talking to Eamon about all of that, what the changes it made and that kind of thing, as well as that. And, you know, how the village would have, I suppose, gone from boom to bust. And then, as well as that, of course, there was people who are new to industrialization, there were strikes, there was that kind of thing here as well. But it transformed the community hugely. But that's the problem with mining, though. It doesn't tend to go on, and suddenly they're gone, and you leave all these slag heaps behind you. And of course, they actually left a desert behind them here of dust, and that had to be dealt with, and that was dealt with very well by the community. So there's a good story about how him and a lot of people in the community coming down. So it's great. I just love this place for the walking, coming in this morning, the village, the mountains behind it, beautiful April morning. What better could you be? And then here beside the fire in Hickey's Pub, often had a great time here after the walking festival as
well. Absolutely. And there's no doubt it's a very special village. And we're going to start with a song. Jimmy, are you ready for me, Jimmy? Good man, clear the throat. We're going to start with a song. It's the Song of Silver Mines by local man Jimmy Quirk. Jimmy, whenever you're ready.
This is a song about a local hurling match that took place probably in the late 1800s between the Mines and Glown, better known as Glencalough. It was on the summer's evening, we went marching three by three. Oh, we were well armed like the Royal Artillery. Matt Ryan, he was our leader, a hero brave and true. He was in charge of that band o' dashing Glencalough. Now the Glown boys, they had a peak of the day. Young tigers in from Keeper Hill and men from Aher Clay. Our boys, they came from Silver Mines and likewise Blowherby. The Gleeson from Rossman and the champions of Shalee. The pitch was one of the greatest ever seen. The grass on it grew to be a pale shade of green. A slope towards the river shore, it made a hurling fast. But up again the hill, you'd need a great deep breath to last. We were a well-united side, and courage showed no slack. We had Reedy, Madden, Rowan and Bill Kindy on the back. Young Donahoe, I will tell you, his courage he proved true. He dived into the widow's tomb that joined from Glencalough. The game was hard and tough, all those lads were in their prime. The ball it whistled through the air from Murphy to Jack the Line. Who sent a rasper to the net, not losing any time. And that game was won that brilliant day, in glorious soon shone shine.
Well done, Jimmy. Thanks for that, Jimmy. Now we're going to talk to our host today. That's Tommy Hickey, who's publican here at Hickey's Pub and also a local historian. How are you, Tom? First of all, thank you so much for having us today.
I wouldn't say a historian, no.
Well, John G says it, so it must be true.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
We say local historian, then, and that covers everything.
They tell me yarns, anyway.
What we want to know is, you know about these Dunalleys, you know?
Yes.
I mean, the O'Kennedys were so dominant here, and they came down from Brian Boru, so they were very powerful. I mean, where did these Dunalleys suddenly come from, and how did they get to be so much land here? 20,000 acres, I believe.
Yes, around 22,000. I suppose the first came here around the 1600s, 1670s, you know, so the first pharaoh was Henry Pretty was his name, and then he had another son, Henry, you know, and they actually lived above in, they took the confiscation of the lands from
Joe Kennedy's.
John Kennedy, the Kennedys, yes. And he, funny enough, they trumped up charges again. I mean, he was hung in Nina with his son, James, you know, at the time, you know, so.
He ain't coming back then, that's it,
no,
yes.
No, he's not coming back, but I think it was his son, his brother Hugh that done the damage, you know, really. So around the 1800s, for the 21st of July 1800, then Dunalley got a title, you know, so. And so they started building Kilby, about 3 miles from the Dunalley Castle, you know, which was up in McIntyre.
And of course, that's the fort of the cliff, isn't it,
yes,
up on the hill?
That's right, yeah. That was knocked in the 60s to make way for mining, which is now known as the McIntyre site, you know. So they moved over there to the grandeur then, and they created this fine estate, I suppose, really, and enhanced the gardens and made the lake around it. And
yeah.
So
they weren't absentee landowners now, no, so they lived here. So indeed, the worst ones are often the absentee. I mean, what was the experience of the people here with them, what, generally speaking?
Well, I think the first two were fairly okay. They had good rapport with the local people, but I think the third fella, the third baron, became the problem. He was a nephew, so so he wasn't liked, you know. So it rattled a little bit there. He rattled them a little bit, you know. So yeah.
And then Terence, he wrote a book. I was mentioning that, and that's a famous book, yes. I'm sure. Right,
actually,
I read it as well.
That book, yeah.
Yeah, and he went on then to be his war correspondent, and that he was very well known. Right. But is that book still known and read about? Read here.
Well, it's out of print, really. It's actually hard to guess, you know, because I actually have a copy of it. You know, he talks about his hard times there as well, doesn't he? So,
what is that? Is this what we're looking at then, the decline of the great estates in Ireland? Yeah. I presume at that stage they didn't have 20,000 acres. The Land Commission made sure they might look at having a thousand. You can't support a house like that. Was that what was happening there? Like, is it what was happening all over Ireland in the Free State?
Yeah, that's just, well, I suppose the house was burnt, I suppose, in August 1922. So it probably destroyed a lot of their. It probably destroyed a lot of the history of the local community as well, and they had a lot of archives there. So
that was a loss in the Civil War.
That was a big loss now, because I believe they had a lot of mining artifacts and all that there as well, you know. So
and then, of course, the Ryans took it over, isn't that right?
Later. The Nallys left in 1968.
Yeah.
And then there was Norman Butler came there. He was Irish-American.
So
he was there till maybe 1974, I think. Norman Butler was his name. And then Tony then bought, the estate was divided in two halves, so Tony then bought one half of it, and then eventually he bought the other half back. So, but he actually knocked the original house, which was now a cut-down mansion, you know, so, and he knocked it and rebuilt to a heritage style.
One thing I have to say to him, in fairness to these guys who went into these houses and didn't even, you know, they did, I mean, we'll say we were down last week in Kilcooley, and that's falling apart. But I mean, people like Tony Ryan and Tony O'Reilly and those, they went in and they preserved these great houses. So you would the house be there only for that?
No.
No, not that's probably, you know, and that's one of the things we have to credit these people.
A lot of money involved in that, you know, you know, the rebuilding and restoration of those houses. In fact, the original house was designed by William Leeson. And there's none of those houses survive now. And most of them, they do survive. They're either destroyed or are in ruins today. So actually, Travistown House was one of them, which was a neighbouring house. So
it's a smaller house now, and it doesn't have wings or anything like that. But it's still great that all preserved, yes?
No, it's a fine structure now. It was built back in heritage style. There was took a lot of years to rebuild it.
And tell us about the pub here then as well. How long have you been here, Tom?
I'm here 26 years. So there was, I suppose, a number of owners with the years. But I see the deeds go back to 1858 when Joseph Ryan bought it. And he must have been the man that turned into a pub. So they probably kept a small hotel here, really. There was a lot of, you know, we look at the 1901 census and all that, there's all these people from abroad that are all attached with mining and that.
Yeah.
So
we're hearing all the time for people in the industry that it is a very tough time to be in hospitality, particularly in rural areas. Are you finding that as well?
Oh, yeah, sure. We could write the book there, really, on that.
But nobody's aware of it. Pubs like this are going, and look at what we can create here this morning. And if this is gone, it's gone. You can't bring it back. Yeah. I think now, nationally, my own belief is that the government has to wake up to this before all places like this are lost, because everyone is telling me the cost base is going unsustainable for businesses like this.
All between rates and insurance. Insurance is off the rails, really. We're actually lucky to have four fine pubs in the parish, you know, really. And even in the village now, and a shop, you know, a well-to-do shop there, you know. So we're lucky. But if anything ever happens to the pub or the shop, there's nothing left in the village.
That's the thing, Well, thank you, first of all, anyway, for having us today. It's a pleasure. Thanks, Tom. Give Tom a hand, everyone. Now, Jab, we were talking about the history of Silver Mines, and we've touched on a lot of it. Of course, we'd be here, I'd say, for 2 days if we went into detail on all of it. But, of course, mining is a big thing. And Eamon de Stavre, it's lovely to see you again. I haven't seen you since we went for an old walk around, remember?
Wasn't it lovely?
It was beautiful. It's great to see you again.
Yes, thank you.
And, of course, you'd be well known for Tidy Towns, of course, as well.
Well, after 40 years, I retired last year.
Can you give me a few hints on how to win it?
Absolutely, yeah.
How many times?
What happens after you retire? You become a consultant. You begin to make a few bob then.
How many times have you won the Tidy Towns here?
Well, we've never won the overall.
But a lot of silver and bronzes.
20 years we're in the frame. In other words, the first three.
Yeah.
And the village, I must say, never looked better.
It's really incredible here. It's a credit to you all.
There's great energy and there's great commitment here.
Yeah. Brilliant. So.
And it's gone now from, we'll say, it used to be Tidy Towns, kind of get rid of the litter. Yeah. And I think people don't recognise that, because I remember what Trollis was like in the 80s. A few times you had to show someone around. You'd be walking through litter. We have conquered that, but we've done it slowly. But it's now village enhancement. What's now are they looking for in terms of the competition?
Well, it's the same, only at a higher level. Mm. You know, in fairness now, apart from Tidy Towns, generally speaking, the litter problem isn't like what it used to be. It was the biggest single problem for maybe the first 20 years, and now it's so different because we're into a new climate and new emphasis. So Tidy Towns has never been as important, but also never been as successful.
Yeah.
And we have nearly 900 entries from Kerry to North Donegal. It's wonderful.
It's incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's talk then about the mining history of the area. I know we've spoken to you a number of times on it. When did mining essentially shut down here in Silver Mines?
Well, it shut down 42 years ago. That was the end of it. But we finished with a bang, because in 1968, Jack Lynch, who was then Taoiseach, he came here to Silver Mines. And that, by the way, we haven't seen a reigning Taoiseach since. So
it's not good enough, Eamon.
If there are any Fianna Fáilers here, all here. Yeah.
There's not any, I'd say.
Make a note of it. And that was more than memorable.
Yeah.
To think that you had the senior politician accompanied by the leader of the opposition, Liam Cosgrave. And they came in, Cosgrave and his colleagues, they came in by train. Imagine, we had our own train into Shilly, and Jack Lynch came by by car, no doubt. And we had over 100 journalists here in Silver Mines in September 1968. And it was good news all the way. Who would believe that the largest industry in North Tipperary,
yeah,
over 500 people employed here, all well paid, lucrative, you know, and over of course the three periods, you know, 8 to 4, 4 to 12, and then the midnight.
But it was a tough job, wasn't it? And it wasn't without tragedy. Even coming through the village, you can see the memorials there for the people who lost their lives.
Well, we had six fatalities here. Bear in mind, like, Thurlow Sugar Factory ran for 55 years. They had three fatalities. So mining is not for the faint-hearted.
Yeah.
And people would accept that. But the wages were very good. We had people leaving jobs on a Friday evening for £6 a week and trebling that the following Monday. But there were 1,000 feet underground at that stage, you know.
But the Macobar left a huge scar behind, right? But I hear now there are whisperings that this may be to the benefit of the village, and there's talk maybe that there might be a new hydroelectricity industry coming in there.
That would be absolutely miraculous.
Miraculous.
As near as you could get.
It's not as distant as that. It's been miraculous.
That's dependent on a number of things.
Yeah, it's been spoken about for a while, hasn't it?
No, you have, especially by certain politicians. And, you know, they're like, it pops up. So for that reason, I wouldn't hold my breath on it. But if it comes and when it comes, it will be miraculous, really.
And it'll be the perfect for that size, won't it?
A dream come true.
And it's like then having a second lake above, you pump the water up and it's like a huge battery where you can store energy. And then when you're short of energy, then you release the water. Hey, Preston, you got
it. Yeah, it's happening. We have one already, of course. But that would be the
Turlough Hill.
Turlough Hill, yeah. Mm. Very successful. But anyhow, getting back to the benefits, if you like, or, of the, especially the 1968 to 82. And you know, before this started, there was forecast. They could judge the people involved. They could judge how long they were going to be. The estimate was 14 years. And the reality was 14 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was wonderful. Mm. And of course, it benefited in the 50s now, which was a loss-making endeavour. We only had four houses were built here. So people were saying, oh, God, we're going to get a rake of houses here. But sensibly, the houses were built in Nina. So Nina, as a town, benefited overnight as well. Mm. So it was, in that respect, it was great.
And what happened to all the workers then? When you come to, was it 1982, I think?
Yeah.
And suddenly it's all over. I mean, what happened? Did they go back to the farms?
The nature of mining for 1,000 years is it's transient, it's temporary, and it's unpredictable. Mm. So it wasn't a bit surprising. No. Mm. But while it was there, it was so beneficial, especially for small farmers who made good and full use of it. Because traditionally, farmers were always employed in the mine as well. Mm. And that's what happened here in Silver Mines.
But Eamon, are you happy that enough is being done to kind of honour the mining history here? And we spoke about mining tourism in a number of different counties as well.
We've gone from... we've gone from an ancient land to a tourism product now, and the likes of Pat Sheehan and colleagues have developed a wonderful village walk now, and that's been accompanied by we have a number of plaques, etc. So it's really up to ourselves now to exploit that, you know, and. Because there are the various ages and stages of mining would suggest that there's a great story here. And there is a great story here.
You have a unique story that needs telling. And I do think that from a tourism point of view.
Well, it's really up to ourselves. And that applies to other villages around the country as well, you know. Yeah. So, but we Silver Mines, you know, it's really, you have to agree, it's pretty unique.
It's special. Unique. It's certainly special. Yeah. Yeah. We just have to take a quick break here from Hickey's and Silver Mines. We'll be live back in the next couple of minutes.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Tip Today with Fran Curry.
With Slattery's Garage Pecan, you can't beat experience. With over 50 years maintaining Peugeot cars and vans, we like to call ourselves the experts. Call Slattery's Garage for a free vehicle health check today. 067 24111 or slattery'sgarage.ie.
The Tipperary Village Tour. Funded by Commissioner Naman. With the television license fee. Tipperary's
Tip FM. Welcome back. We are live here at Hickey's Pub in Silver Mines Village this morning, and it's absolutely bustling because the pupils of, well, some pupils from Silver Mines National School are joining us as well this morning, and they'll be performing for us later on. But before we go to that, Katrina Gleeson, lovely to talk to you this morning.
You're very welcome, Alison.
I know you couldn't wait to come on with us.
Just delighted, as I say. Look, John G's mentioned a good bit about the walking, but very outdoory village.
I'm very jealous of all the routes you have up here. Yes, it is just stunning.
We're so lucky, and even this morning I just took the bicycle and I cycled.
So I met you on the road.
Yes, and I just said, oh my God, I never tire of the scenery. And our main range, you know, would be the Silver Mines range, and people would be familiar with Keeper Hill then, which is 694 metres. So that's our highest point. And just a fun fact, it's the 58th highest mountain in Ireland. So just that you know that. And John actually mentioned even about the Slieve Phelan Way. So that's, I just looked, did a bit of research on that. It's a 43 kilometre linear walk. So it starts in the Silver Mines and it ends in Maru, going through Tour and through Newport. So that's a very interesting walk as well. And as you said, we've several walks up in the Silver Mines, from moderate walking to, you know, the more challenging out on the ridge. We have our National Looped Walk, would be a 4 kilometre walk. It takes about 2 hours. That's the Knock and Roll Loop. And then the locals would know several little walks up there as well. So hopefully the National Loops maybe might come out and loop a few more of those for people that they could follow. And we're very grateful for Quilta, who allow us to use all, you know, the forestry up there. It's a great facility to have in our area. So we're just very lucky with all of that. And I was just telling John G later, even for cyclists as well, it's a fantastic area for cycling. Sunday morning, always meet loads of cyclists between the North Tip Wheelers and the Nina Wheelers. Even last Saturday, it's Lochdurg e-bikes with Rob. I joined, it was an electric bike, but we did 34 kilometres all around the Silver Mines, and easy peasy going up the hills with the electric bikes. But, you know, it's just fantastic what we have and the facilities we have at our doorstep.
And we're seeing a real growth as well in walking tourism. I mean, you know that as well, John. Are you benefiting from that here as well?
Oh, definitely, because even when I'm up there walking, I meet Enoch or Shule and the Mid-Tip Walkers, so I meet all them up there. And I've often met clubs from Athlone, I've met clubs from Charleville, Bishopstown. You know, unbelievable how they're able to find, and they walk from the ridge and take in Keeper Hill, so it'll be about a 5 or 6 hour challenging walk.
You could get a loop walk that actually starts here from the village, where the trailhead is in the village. I always think that's great, because then there's a great incentive to pop into this lovely establishment. If they go up to the step, they probably won't go into the shop, that kind of goes. I always say, if you're coming into a local community, you didn't have to spend a lot, but buy a cup of coffee at least. Always.
And we're looking for, if someone could come along with their little coffee horse box, would be great. We'd love that at the weekends up around here. It would be very good.
Anyone then, Katrina, who's looking for information on the walks available here, how can they get that?
Now, if you up in step, there is actually a board up there that will tell you the National Looped Walk, so all the details are there. But there's great information online under Sports Ireland, so you'll get all the details there. And then anyone that wants to contact me under Enoch or Shule, we can always give them information, or they can join us. And actually, the Silver Mines have their own little walking group as well. We usually meet on a Thursday. That'll be starting up soon as well.
Great.
So there's great options there. Yes.
Lovely. Yeah. Well done. Lovely to talk to you this morning. Thanks, Katrina. Well done.
I just say a quick little poem from one of our members. It's Ciarán McLaughlin, and he wrote it about walking up around step. Now, it's an autumn poem. Leafy Lane. Linger on this lane of fallen leaves that once were crisp and dry on autumn trees, now dropped beneath their lofty places to rustling, gusting, swirling breezes. A collage of leaves of oak and beech and lime, scattered on cold and sodden clay, these faded flakes in heaps equal lie for nature's timely, earthly, dark decay. Rain falls gently on this place, on fading ferns turned russet brown, on briars and brambles, larch and pine, and where the evergreen laurels abound. Come again with me to see the harmony of coloured hues when leafy canopies adorn these trees, enriched by these fallen leaves, and linger on this leafy lane at spring's reprise.
Lovely. Well done. Thanks, Katrina. Now, John, John Kennedy joins us now. I know, John G, you're anxious to answer some local questions on War of Independence, particularly, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I suppose, what are the good stories in the area? I know that, of course, North Tipperary was quite active, and it would have been... Would you mean the first Tipperary Brigade that was here? Was that it?
Yeah, the area was very active in the War of Independence, but I suppose some of the bigger stories that happened around the area happened outside of that particular era. I'm chairman of the local historical society. We were formed back in 2011, and since then we've produced a book annually, except for last year, but we're back on the road again this year. This will be our 12th. And the topics that continuously come up are the GAA, the mining obviously comes up all the time. They're repeated every year. There's always a story. There's generally a story about the big house that Nally's, as Tommy has spoken about. And over the last couple of years, the War of Independence, obviously, and the Civil War have been popular topics as well. And there are a number of stories, you know, and all of the stories, I suppose, that are collected and gone back over the years, there can be a certain amount of heroism to one side of it, but there's tragedy at the other side of it, you know. Yeah. So we have to be conscious of all that, you know, and even go back to, before I talk about more recent events, but go back to the 1600s, Tommy referred to already about the Kennedys being been hanged in Nina on trumped up charges. The Kennedys were blamed for the massacre of 20 miners in the area. They're English miners and their families that came into the area. I think there were 7 men, 6 women and 7 children killed, supposedly by the Kennedys. It was proven afterwards they weren't to blame. And their bodies were taken down to a local townsland called Ballyanrahan near Kilmore Graveyard and cast into a pit which is called Clash na Gaol. So I suppose the Kennedys were kicked out that time. And to answer one of your questions, maybe I'd be sitting in Kilboy if that didn't happen, you know. But moving it on anyway, yeah.
He was a Cromwellian, of course. He was a Cromwellian. The Cromwell, like my own people, the O'Dwyer's down in Tipperary, he got kicked off by Cromwell, isn't
exactly,
that basically
yeah, exactly, that's the size of it now. There was a number of incidents that happened in the area around the time of the Civil War, and in this pub, one shortly after the Civil War, during the Civil War, there was 3 soldiers drinking here, and a person came in and shot one of them dead and left again. There was a number of incidents around the village where soldiers might have been drinking in local pubs and they're ambushed by the locals without inflicting any huge damage because I suppose they were badly armed, etc., etc. But, you know, there was a tragic incident where three men went to a house to take a gun belonging to a soldier that was back on leave in 1918, January 1918. And the soldier wasn't there, his father was. There was a struggle. The father ended up being shot and he died a couple of days later. You know, and that was before Solihull or before anything like that happened. So then moving on, we had in Tullamylan during the Civil War, there was a house there which was a safe house. There was a number of anti-treaty there and they were surrounded by a large amount of pro-treaty and it was a lot of shots fired. The house was nearly demolished, I think, by the amount of shooting that went on. And a man called Joe Mangan lost his life. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's tragedy involved in all of these things. But
I mean, the tragedy of the Civil War in any community like this is the big one, and I suppose only now, I think, hopefully, are we beginning to the wounds beginning to heal, isn't that right?
Yeah, and exactly. You know, Dala RIC Barracks, which was probably called Kilby RIC Barracks, was burned the same weekend as a lot of barracks were burnt around the area. Also, the burning of Kilby itself, Tommy referred to it as well. Not clear on who burned it, but there's obviously local stories and there has been a bit written about it as well.
With regard to the Civil War, that's the thing I noticed. Did people talk about it? I know that my people are from Capo White. No problem about what happened in the War of Independence and then the Civil War. Was it the same experience?
I'll give you my personal experience. My mother and her family lived in Dala for generations. And my mother would have been a great woman to trace and know people. And, you know, she'd have a lot of friends and there were great people to carry stories, etc., etc., but never, ever, ever spoke about the Civil War. And there's stuff that I would have heard in more recent times and learned and seen on newspapers, but it was all news to me because it was never spoken about in our time.
John, lovely to talk to you this morning. Thanks so much for that. Give John a hand. Now, Michael, we're going to go to you next. Tell me about Silver Mines GA.
Right, I'll start by talking about the Silver Cup.
Do.
Silver Cup was won 140 years ago. And on that note...
And you're still talking about it.
That's it. So this one, now, next Sunday, a lady called Nancy Ryan will be 100 years of age.
Oh, happy birthday, Nancy.
And I say that because her father was a member of the team that won that Silver Cup 140 years ago. And that's so unusual, that's 140 years between them. So how did it come out? The Silver Cup was the first trophy played for in the history of the GAA. The first game under the new GAA rules was played in February of 1885. So it's between Silver Mines and Nina Mitchell's. This is the first one under the new rules. It had been brought up to scratch in December, and the Mines beat Nina. And according to Kenneth Fogarty's book, even though there was doubt about the winners, he says Glory went to the Mines, and the Nina Mitchell's were sick and sore and sorry at the end.
Hey.
The following year, then, February 1886, was the very first inter-county hurling game. That was between North Tipperary and South Galway, and that took place in Phoenix Park, Dublin, and North Tipperary won that game by a goal. And the man who scored that goal was the man I mentioned already, Martin Gleeson, the father of Nancy Ryan, who's 100 next week. So he was Martin was a member of the first team that played in the first game. He was a member of the first Tipperary team. And then later on, when their cup was brought home, it was brought for competition. And Silver Mines won the competition, defeating Holy Cross in the final. So it was a fairly robust game. And
I've no doubt.
We were told in the current of the song, anyway, Holy Cross men hurled manfully, but still they did give in, and the game will long be remembered for many a broken shin. So the cup was won and was handed over eventually in 1935 to the parish priest for safekeeping, and a number of years ago that cup was given over to Lorna Parker on loan, and it's presently in the Croke Park Museum on loan from Lorna Parker. So we're the first team to win the first cup, I suppose I should say.
Fantastic.
And congratulations to Nancy.
Happy birthday, Nancy.
On her birthday and the great deeds of her father.
Fantastic. And how's the club now? Tell me, what are you at?
We're intermediate and we're trying hard.
Intermediate's tough, Michael. It's tough going,
yeah, but they're not bad. They're a good crowd of fellas now, but eventually we'll get back up sooner again.
Absolutely. And keep with the juveniles and the ladies part of it, I suppose.
We have a great juvenile club founded in 1968 or 69. Mary Ford's husband was in the founding of that. That's going great. That's the jewel in our crown, and they're going very good. But somehow it's difficult to get a transition from juvenile over to adult.
It is. Yeah.
They seem to fall off at that stage.
Yeah.
But they're good. We have a ladies' football team, we have a camogie team, we have a handball club. So No fear.
Well, I know you won an award as well for the men's shed. You're involved in that too, aren't you?
Yeah, the men's shed was founded 7 years ago here in this pub. Next door now in the pub. it was in May 2017, and We set it up, and we found it difficult to get a venue, so we built our own min shed down behind the local hall, and that's going strong. We have about 21 members at present.
Fantastic.
I was secretary for the 7 years, but I pulled out last January. So now the chairman is Martin Quinn, secretary is Finn Barryan, treasurer is Patrick Hennessy, and the vice chairman is Michael Kinnean.
We wish you all the best with it. Yeah, well done. Mike, lovely to talk to you this morning. Thanks so much for that. Geraldine. From the men's shed to the women's shed. Sure, we couldn't let them have a shed. We had to have one too, didn't we?
Of course we did, Alison, absolutely.
Tell me, how long is the women's shed up and running?
Well, we're only going about a year and a half, and going strong. We just met up one night and we thought, you know, it'd be lovely to have somewhere to go just for women. And so about a year and a half ago, three of us, Catherine Ryan Mulqueen, Sarah Fogarty and myself, we called an open meeting and we got a great response. And we have 55 members.
Excellent.
At the moment. We meet every Wednesday night from 7 to 9, do various activities, courses, and we get a lot of funding from the NTB, the NTCC County Council. And, you know, we have talkers coming. We have Dr. Anne-Marie Ryan coming tonight.
Brilliant.
She's talking to us on gut health and all that. We had Dr. Mary. We've done kukri courses, yoga. Then we do our own stuff, knitting and crochet. We've done a lot of knitting and crochet for the maternity hospital in Limerick for the premature babies, little caps and cardigans. And we do flower arranging at Christmas time, card making, all kinds of crafts.
It's lovely to see, because there aren't many women's sheds around, really, are there?
No.
They're growing, though.
No, there isn't really. The first one in North Tipperary was Newport, and then we were the second. There's one in Ballymackey, I think, as well. And Nina are trying to set one up at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's lovely, you know.
I bet you're better organised than the old men's one as well.
Absolutely.
And tidier, I bet, Michael, are they? Probably tidier. Anyone who's looking, maybe.
Last year, a lot of pancakes.
Oh, really? Anyone who's looking, Geraldine, for information on it, how can they get that?
Sure, so. going to the Caparoo Women's Shed. We have our group call to Caparoo any Wednesday night from 7 to 9. Small little form to fill up. €20 to join for the year. We do different activities, outings during the year. Christmas time last year, we went to Gifted in the RDS.
Brilliant.
We had a fabulous day out there and had a lovely meal on the way home. And it was a lovely social thing. We usually have a summer party before we break up, you know, and different things like that. So
you're doing it in style, Jolene. Well done. Lovely to talk to you today. Wish you all the best with it. Pat Sheehan, how are you, Pat?
Fine, thanks.
Let me make my way over to you. You're part of the Village Enhancement Group. As you were telling me, it is a fancier name than Tidy Towns, is it?
Fancier name than Tidy Towns.
Tell me about the work you do.
Well, sure. Well, first of all, keep the village tidy. And basic work now is planting trees this year. We have over 80 planted this year. And this year, Michael Collins is one of the six. He came up with a bright idea for the girls for the confirmation class to plant a tree. So we planted 13 silver birch trees, and they're lovely.
Beautiful.
Yeah, that's and we've planted over 80 trees already this year.
That's
but
great.
You're lucky, you have an expert in the village, haven't you? Yeah. You go looking for a few tips from Eamon.
Well, he doesn't dig. Eamon doesn't dig.
A lot of community.
We clean up around the mine work now. The old mine work is brilliant to look at now. The Corns Engine House and the Smelting House are brilliant.
Well, it's a credit to you around here. A lot of communities would talk about the trouble they have getting volunteers. Yeah. Do you have that issue here?
We do, That's a problem everywhere, But you can ask people. Farmers are willing to oblige with tractors if you want the stuff shifted here and there. But we say, when the mining came first and then a few of them missed it, there was residue off the mine, the waste. And that's what happened in a lot of the village. The waste was spread around the place. And so basically, waste would be more or less useless
wouldn't
for
grow anything.
Wouldn't grow anything. So that's the thing.
Just trying to deal with that.
But the smelting house is a brilliant house. And, you know, what sort of smelted the minerals. Was brilliant now.
Alison and I have been up there.
And it's a real, you're walking through a museum, up there. 19th century mining. When mining went from being a bucket and spade kind of a job to being industrialised. And, of course, at that stage, the demand for ore was so huge. Because, for example, ships are going from made from wood to be made of steel and made of ore, you know.
What a lot of people don't know, water was the biggest thing in mining. Water and water wheels was the biggest thing. And when the steam engine came, it revolutioned the mine.
Because you could pump the water, isn't that it?
Well, you could crush as well. The steam worked plants.
Pat, lovely to talk to you this morning. I'm just out of time, nearly, so I might get the kids to get ready. I'm going to come to you in a minute. Don't panic. You've loads of time. Just a minute or two. John, I know, before I go to the lads, you live now in what was the old schoolhouse. Is
that right? That's right. It was built by the Powell Allers. They were our landlords. They built the shooting lodge in Clown, and she was a Ryan of Inch, and she
Catholic
was
family,
she was a Catholic family, and she built a little school for the tenants. For she said they'd grow up to be novices.
A one room school, wasn't that? Difficult to get teachers, I believe.
Well, they stayed in Clown when they came because there was no motor cars, or there was. You know, so they stayed in a neighbour's house called Madden's, mostly. And at one stage, they made a room in the old school, and the teacher lived in the room.
Everyone that goes there now, you would so beautifully done up. Everyone does the loop, stops on the bridge beside your house, don't they?
I met you briefly.
I was on one of the walks. That's right, John.
That's the story of
it's
the
old school. It's a special place to live in, isn't it?
Well, it's unique now, I suppose, because it's sort of unspoiled, really.
Absolutely. John, lovely to talk to you today.
All the houses in the valley now were built along the side of the river, which is another thing a lot of people might know.
There was a lovely song about the mountainy men and the smoke of the peat fire forever moving over the homes of the mountainy men.
The smell of peat is so evocative. It's evocative of Ireland.
Lovely to talk. Thanks, gents. Lovely to talk to you. Now, Silver Mines National School, you're all ready. Miss Sheary, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, this morning. Good.
Lovely to talk to you. What classes do we have here?
We have from second to sixth class here this morning.
Hello, everyone. I know you're busy today because we've come in a month school as well today, don't we?
That's right, the boys are going to blitz. We've no male to misters. We're all female here today.
The girls are doing it today. What's your name?
Morgan.
Morgan, how are you? What class are you in?
I'm in sixth class.
Tell me, what are we performing today?
performing the Sally Gardens and the Dawning of the Day.
Lovely, and we're going to finish out with that. But before we do, because you're so good today, and the boys got to go off to come in a month's goal, so I presume, Miss Sheery, we won't have homework tonight, will we?
No, the homework is beginning to dumb down at the moment.
Yeah,
these lovely evenings, so yeah.
It's lovely. Tell us about Silver Mines National School just quickly before we go into performing. It's an amazing school. It's so beautiful up there.
Yeah, the new build opened in 2012. Yeah. Beautiful new school. We've all the facilities, a beautiful AstroTurf basketball court, beautiful grounds done by Josie Carey,
it's
our gardener. Idyllic, yeah, it's just so picturesque, such a beautiful area. And yeah, beautiful mixed school. At the current, we currently have 63 pupils, both boys and girls. Yeah, lots of activities going on, lots of sports, lots of music. Yeah.
Busy, busy, and winding down, almost time for summer holidays.
It is, yeah, we're finishing up now the 22nd of June this year.
Lovely.
So yeah, beginning to wind down. People are beginning to take the early holiday. You don't blame them.
Yeah.
But yeah, so long may the nice weather continue.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for coming down to us today. And it's great to see you all. And I know we're going to finish up with you. So just prepare while we sign off. Tom, thank you so much for hosting us today. Thanks to everyone in Silver Mines for being so welcoming to us today. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much. So we're going to sign off from Silver Mines here at Hickey's Pub with the students from Silver Mines National School. Off you go.
They sound fantastic, and a great community there, of course, in lovely Silver Mines. And thanks to Ellie and John G and all of the team there. News and information's coming up.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.